Welcome to Unjaded for the Road Forward. I'm your host, Jade Terriberry, coming to you live with my good friends, Micah Tindor and Noah Lee. We are in Raleigh, North Carolina at the AIS NRC conference, and we are thrilled to be with you today. So this is going to be a really fun one. We're going to do a quick around the horn version of our fierce measurement acronym. So I'm going to say a word that corresponds with each of the letters in our acronym, and then they're going to tell you their top advice for you as a dealer, an OEM, or an industry innovator from their lens. So Micah covers our inventory management, inventory acquisition, and KBB ICO products, and then Noah is from the dealer.com side. And so Noah is doing a great job talking about cradle to cradle and the lifetime value of a consumer to both a dealership and a manufacturer. So we are going to get started with fierce measurement. And guys, the F is for future focus. I'm going to start with Noah.
Oh, man.
Future focus.
Tricked him.
Yeah. Well, I think right now, dealers really need to think about transitioning. So using digitally assisted retail, not just digital retail. So a lot of people think, oh, it's just throw the thing on my site. I've got digital retail. You also want to be using that solution in the store and getting customers more comfortable with a technologically enhanced retailing process. That's how I would be future focused.
Micah, future focus. Speak up.
From an inventory side, it's all about vehicle acquisition, and particularly on the used car side. We're just now entering that period where the off-lease reductions of COVID from about 30% down to 17.5% are going to hit used car dealers' ability to buy cars. We're going to see 1 million less off leases this year, 1.4 million next year, 2.5 million in 2026. So if I'm talking about future forecasts with dealers, it's all about building a plan to make sure you can acquire used cars profitably in the next 3 years.
So well said. So I'm coming right back to you with our I, which is incrementality falls right in line with inventory acquisition strategy.
If it's within inventory acquisition, then it's all about margin control. And margin control really maps pretty closely to the appraisal and recon. Now consumers are price shopping the trade-in, so the price of a trade-in is controlled. The price you can sell it at has been controlled by the market for a long time, so your acquisition and disposition costs are controlled, which means your margin's really wrapped up in how effectively and accurately can you recondition. And the Viauto data says 40% of the time, the appraisal misses by $1,000. Plus or minus, could be 1,000 over, 1,000 under, but you're either over-indexing and limiting your ability to win cars or under-indexing and losing your margin. So as cars get harder to appraise, need to make sure you're accurate on recon to protect your margin.
I love that. When we talk about incrementality, often we've been talking about adding additional units. But when you think about it from a profit perspective, that is just as much or more impactful to your overall organization. So I was with a dealership group early last week, and we looked at if we just move the needle $100 per unit that they sell, and if we only move the needle 0.1% in their closing ratios, it actually impacts their ROI by a third of a point. Every month they do that. That's and they sell a lot of cars. So it's like $500,000 a month in gross profit. So these little incremental changes can make all the difference in the world. And if you build on that over time, it's exponentially compounding. So Noah, incrementality, my friend.
I think with this one, it's training your team to use the technology that you have. A lot of times dealers, what they do is they get a new solution and they just put it out and then say, there you go, we've got it. But they don't really train their teams. And get them more comfortable with using a digital retailing solution. So if you've got a customer who walks right into the store, points at a car and says they want to buy that vehicle, rather than, you know, drawing out a four square in the first pencil, pull up that vehicle on your website, start the digital retailing process and take them through it that way. You've got more transparency, more control, and it speeds up the process overall. It's super easy.
You got it. Well said. We have got to stop that rub in between our one side of our business and the other. And that goes in multiple areas. In fact, we talk about it often between the fixed ops and the variable ops side. Don't come into my service drive. We talk about it on the e-commerce side. E-commerce versus brick and mortar retailing. Know that car is not available. E-commerce team, you can't sell it via the e-commerce channel. We have an appointment on it 2 weeks from now, maybe. So we've got to really focus within our organizations about that seamless communication and processes that hold our people accountable to doing all of the right things. So that moves us to E, which are efficiencies. And efficiencies can come in a lot of flavors. That can come through expense management. That can come through budget optimization. So Noah, I'm coming back to you. Tell us what you think of in the efficiency space.
So time spent in the dealership is, you know, one of the biggest pain points for shoppers nationwide, right? They don't like to spend hours at a dealership because everybody's busy. They, you know, have afternoon plans on a Saturday. They've got kids. They got to go to sports. So you got to think about how you can speed up that in-store transition or that transaction. So way to do it is get them to complete more of that, those steps online at home at their own convenience. So when they've got 5 minutes, they can go and pencil in what their terms are, fill out a credit app, you know, figure out what their trade-in might be worth, or even, you know, pick out some F&I products. You can get them to complete more of those steps at home. You're cutting off, you know, 30, 60, 90 minutes out of that process. So when they do come in, it's faster, they're happier, and they want to come back and buy that car again from you.
So well said. Micah, efficiency.
It's efficiency in the appraisal process, particularly because if you look at how you can acquire cars, you can get it from auction, you can get it from consumer, and there's multiple ways to get a consumer, dealer, trades. There are 7 acquisition channels. 5 of the 7 require you to do an in-person appraisal and interact with the human. So you need to have efficiencies in that process for 2 reasons. One, as you have limited at-bats now with less vehicles coming in, you need to make sure that you're efficient to have the highest percentage chance of getting a hit and buying that vehicle. And second, you need efficiency because you don't know who's going to be up to bat. Right. And you can't have Jade, who's converting at a 70% rate, Micah's converting at a 5% rate, and Micah might be the person up. So you need to make an efficient, replicative appraisal process to ensure that you have the same chance of acquiring those vehicles every time.
Well said. All right. Now we're back to you. Revenue streams.
Yeah. So that goes right back into, you know, digital retail. A lot of people think, hey, I'm going to be losing gross because the process is more transparent. But what we actually find is, you know, if you can get people into the digital retailing process just online, you know, those leads actually close at about a 46% higher rate, and they generate on average about 26% higher gross profit per deal. So if we can get them into that process, you're more likely to sell the car, more likely to make more money on that car. You're going to have a happier customer who wants to come back and buy their next car. And that goes right back into cradle to cradle. So getting them to keep coming back to them over their lifetime.
Love it. Revenue streams. Micah Tindor, I'll bet you're going to go somewhere in the fixed top space, my friend.
You're 100% right.
All right, let's do
when
it.
When we think about inventory management, so much of the success of inventory management depends on that interface with fixed stops. Can you actually identify the mechanical damage? Can you get it done in a meaningful time to accelerate your frontline ready time? And the inventory team at Cox Automotive is really focused on maximizing margin on every vehicle for a dealer. And there is an opportunity for the fixed ops and variable ops to partner together to look at inventory coming through the fixed op department as a revenue maximization for the dealer. Simply what I mean is you got 50 appraisals coming in. You should partner up with your used car department, identify which of those will generate the most margin for the dealership by buying them and putting in the used car department, and which would generate the best margin and customer experience by keeping them in fixed. And if you build that plan together, it can be the first time that fixed and variable ops really partner together with the sole focus of margin for the dealership.
Optimizing profit for the dealership. And what do you always say too? Pay your people. You've 100%. Got to incentivize these people if you want the outcomes that you want to drive. Make it worth their while to do something new and different and outside of the box, because you've got to bring your people along with you. They are your change agents or your change blockers in everything that you do. So we are on to the C, which is consumer experience or customer lifetime value. Let's see. How about back to Micah on this one?
All right. It is the consumer experience when they're in dealership and you're giving them value when they're trading. 70% of consumers show up when they're buying a car and at least say they want to trade a vehicle in with it. And their expectation has changed significantly versus pre-COVID times. Consumers now show up on average with 2.6 cash offers in hand where they did a self-assessment online. If they're millennials or Gen Z, they probably have 4 to 6. So when they arrive, there's a much different expectation from them. And we as on the retail side need to engage consumers now and educate them through the process. I already know that my vehicles were between 25.5 and 27.5. I don't know why. So I need someone to walk around the vehicle and help me understand the good and the bad, the pluses and the minuses, why my vehicle is actually a 25.5. So it's all about that conversation with the consumer, particularly on the damage wall.
Well, I asked you the question yesterday. So what do consumers think? that spread is based on. That's a lot. Like I, yeah. even I hadn't thought about a consumer walking into a dealership with 2 or 3 or 5 pre-printed valuation offers from different dealerships or different companies, a KBB ICO offer and 3 or 4 others. And your answer to me was great. It's like, they don't know. They need somebody to educate them. They're not sure what's accurate or not, and they are scared to death about getting ripped off. It's their number one concern in all the research that you've done, and we're going to talk about that on the next joint session that we do together. So, Noah, we're going to be out to you. Customer experience.
Well, I think you did. You had such a great point about paying your people. So that means reward your high performers. Reward the people who are providing a great experience for shoppers because, you might be closing a deal once, grinding somebody out for 4 hours, but they don't want to come back, right? Yeah. So think about the people who are not only selling cars, but doing a great job of getting a good customer experience out there. And then, you know, thinking about how you can add efficiencies to that process, slim down the time spent in the dealership. That means that customer's happier because they can get in and out in 90 minutes or less. Their CSI scores go up, likelihood that they're going to come back and service their vehicle at the dealership is higher, likelihood that they're going to come back and buy their vehicle, their next vehicle from you is going to be much higher as well.
Right on. And last, we have made it to the E. So e-commerce. I'm coming back to you, Noah. E-commerce, what does that mean to you?
Well, I think it's where the industry is going, right? We're transitioning right now. We've got digital retailing, with digitally assisted retailing, online to in-store, and every permutation along the way. And really, the way that I think about it is you want to be able to flex your process to the needs of the shopper. Because some people, they're going to want to buy totally online, not want to deal with anybody. But what we see is a lot of people really still like to come into the dealership, see the vehicle, test drive it, all that stuff. So you need to use, you know, the elements of e-commerce to enhance that experience when they do come into the store. So it's easier, not only for the customer, but for your salespeople to provide a great experience.
Yes. So right. Micah, e-commerce.
I'm going to steal a phrase that I've heard from each of you when you try to unite them together. Noah talks about cradle to cradle, being that customer life cycle. And there is a vehicle life cycle within that cradle to cradle. You always say e-commerce is everything, right? Regardless of where a customer is in the funnel, at some point they have an e-commerce experience. So if I put an inventory lens on what does e-commerce mean, it's really two things to focus on to unite those together. One of them is that you need to make sure that the experience the customer has online matches what happens in the dealership. Traditional e-commerce, right? It is really, really hard with an appraisal. A customer does a very light appraisal themselves online, and they arrive at the dealership, and it's a very in-depth appraisal. So dealerships really need to focus on mapping that to make sure there's congruency between the two of them. On the other side, a lot of things you do within that vehicle lifecycle process are beneficial to the customer lifecycle process. If you identify and recon that you need new tires, that's a value add when it comes to merchandising for your next customer. So as you think about that vehicle lifecycle within the customer lifecycle, cradle to cradle, you want to make sure that you're picking out the right value add elements from your appraisal process, from your recon process, and make sure you leverage them in merchandising to attract the next customer.
That was so well said. Awesome content in our fierce measurement strategy. And that doesn't mean just listening to episodes like this, but it actually means for every one of those letters in that word fierce, you need to pick your success metric and you need to drive towards measurable incremental improvement in every one of those areas. So thank you for joining us for another episode of Unjaded for the Road Forward, a bonus subscriber only piece of content. You can join us and subscribe at b2b.autotrader.com/unjaded for the road forward. I'm Jade Terriberry, your host. And as always, we are cutting through the noise to drive real results for you.